Charlotte Talks is sponsored by Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to bridging the gap between adventure and adventurer by helping people select vehicles that fit one's lifestyle. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. An estimated 60 people a day are moving to Charlotte, and this has been going on for years. You can see it all around you. Increasing traffic congestion, road construction, apartment buildings springing up like weeds. They say it's better for a city to grow than to stagnate. But you have to consider the growing pains. That's what we are experiencing right now. And one of those pains is in our gridlocked real estate market. Home builders cannot keep up with demand, so prices are rising. And the lack of inventory combined with higher prices make those with homes to sell reluctant to put them on the market because finding their next home may be difficult and unaffordable. So how much longer can this last? Are there workarounds to this Rubik's Cube of a real estate market? We check in on this periodically, and that's how we'll spend this hour. We're joined by Brenda Hayden, the 2019 president of the Charlotte Regional Realtor Association and broker with Keller Williams South Park. Thanks for joining us. Welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Good to see you. She's in our Spirit Square studio along with Jennifer Gooch, regional director of the Charlotte market for Metro Study. They are a housing market research firm. Welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And Bob Zweier is president of Saucy Burbank and of the Home Builders Association of Greater Charlotte. I'm glad you came back, too.
Nice to be here, Mike.
It's brave to come back. If you'd like to join our conversation, you can email us at charlottetalks@wfae.org. Search for WFAE on Facebook. Get to us through Twitter @CharlotteTalks. And you can also watch us on Facebook Live. So, Brenda, I'm going to start with you. I mentioned the kind of real estate market that we're in has been in place for a while. I read yesterday that average sales prices here have risen about 35%.
Absolutely.
We should sell now. In the past 5 years, are things getting any easier, though? Is that making things more difficult?
On a certain level, it is challenging for sure. For first-time home buyers entering into the market with the pace of home prices increase, that can definitely be a challenge.
How would you describe this market right now today?
It's an aggressive market.
Aggressive?
Mm-hmm.
How?
Aggressive for new entry, for move-up buyers that are looking for their next home to go to. It's just making it very challenging for them to transition to the next home if there's no next home that's within the affordable price.
Aggressive meaning that they, as the buyer, have to pony up, have to be aggressive in beating the next person out who wants that same
absolutely,
house?
Absolutely, absolutely.
And how's that going over?
You definitely have to be ready, prepared, prepared for no. And prepared to present an offer that will get the yes.
How much tighter would, I was going to say worse, but let's say tighter. How much tighter would things be were it not for all these apartment buildings that have been growing up by the sides of the road? In other words, that's taking some of the inventory challenge away from the home selling and home buying market, isn't it?
It is, however, an apartment living isn't for everyone.
Right.
So for those that have always had the dream of single-family home ownership, the challenge is still there.
Is that dream on the rise or the decline?
I would say it's holding steady.
You hope.
Yes, I hope. there are some that say, you know, the millennials don't want the picket fence in the suburbs. I don't think that's the case for all millennials.
Right. I know we're going to talk about the real estate home buying and selling market here, not rental units. But let me ask you, Jennifer, how many of those renters are renting because they can't find something to buy in their price range? Or how many of those people are renting because we are, in fact, seeing a shift in housing tastes?
Well, I think that our vacancy rate as a metro area is definitely low. It's among the lowest in the country. Only Nashville and Portland have vacancy rates that are lower. And so in order to have any kind of movement in your metro area, you have to have vacant housing and vacant apartments so you can, you know, move without having someone else having to move. So you can have entrants come into the society or the city and take up new housing. And what we're seeing is that not only on the resale market, but the new home market, we're just dreadfully tight. And it's become a problem for everybody, and
why?
That's what's pushing prices up.
Why are things so tight?
For the resale market, I just think it's not enough inventory. And for the new home market, we have several different kind of cogs in the wheel that make up housing affordability, lending, land, and labor. And all of those are really tight right now. And so, you know, getting a home on the ground in an affordable price range has become very difficult for builders.
So I asked you, Bob, before we started, how are things at Saucy Burbank? And since you're also the president of the Home Builders Association, you deal with all the builders in town. What's the biggest challenge that your industry is facing?
Well, I think Jennifer hit on several of the things, the lending, the labor. The lending, fortunately, is coming to us right now. We've seen almost what we would call 100 basis points or a 1% from 30-year average fixed rates of 5%. We're down close to 4 again, mm-hmm. which I think is taking some pressure off there. So that part's very good. The affordability is a challenge. It's just hard to find land to entitle it, to improve it, and then to build on it at a price that works for everybody.
So as interest rates have fallen a little bit from their – they were at all-time lows for a long time. Then they started to rise as the economy improved. Now they're back down a little bit. So that means more people are going, maybe I could afford to get into that house. But that house doesn't exist is what you're telling me.
Well, especially at the entry level, at the lower price points. I've seen comments made about a bifurcated market, and to me, what they're really saying is the affordable section is hard. There's much more demand than there is supply. As you move up in the market, as you get to that first move up, the second move up, the move down for retiring folks, that part of the market is really fairly well supplied. So it's interesting. You can't just kind of throw it all in the same basket.
The Great Recession put the brakes on the building industry for a while. It really stopped everything dead in its tracks. But now you've kind of come back. But before the Great Recession, there were home builders out there building not just one or two houses in an area, but they were building whole neighborhoods, hundreds of houses out in the far-flung suburbs. Why isn't that happening now? Evidently, that's not happening now. Builders are not keeping up with demand, so therefore, that must mean it's not happening. Why isn't it happening?
Well, again, it's a complicated answer. Part of it is the difference between the national builders, the big public builders, and the local builders. And for the local builders, and we would consider ourselves one of those, finding developers to put lots on the ground in large communities, it's become very rare, and part of it goes back to the recession and lenders being a little more careful. So it's become more difficult for the local guys to put inventory out there. For the nationals, again, it's really just it's a cost, and it's the time that it takes to find a piece of dirt, entitle it, and then develop it. And I heard a great story that Mark Boyce shared with us a couple of months ago in a forum about. He was talking about Amazon distribution center out near the airport and how quickly that's come online. And what a great job Charlotte's done to promote that and make that happen, which I totally agree with. He said, but for him, the challenge has been that thing is totally turned around in what he seems like less than 9 months. It takes him 9 months to get a piece of land entitled that had absolutely no opposition. Another 9 months.
Why?
It's just the process. It's the process. He had to get it rezoned, and so there's a process of getting in front of planning and getting the planners to approve it and then get it in front of city council. And even in a case where there's no opposition, which many times is most often the case, actually, it's just a lengthy process. And then the cost to bring that online. Many times the developer has had to purchase that land out ahead of it, so obviously there's cost of carry involved as well. So it's a challenging environment.
So Jennifer, is it like this just in Charlotte, or is it like this in all the major urban areas of North and South Carolina?
When you look at Charlotte compared to the 36 markets that we survey, which makes up 76% of all new home construction, mm-hmm. Charlotte is the tightest out of the country for new home inventory, meaning that we have the least amount of homes under construction, quick vacant spec move-in inventory, and then model homes. We're running about 30th for our future lot inventory, but we run about 12th in the country for starts. So there's definitely a disconnect in trying to keep up with the demand right now.
Which is the more difficult prospect for buyers, Brenda? Is it the person trying to buy that first home, that starter home, because there aren't enough starter homes around? Or is it the person in a starter home who's ready now to move up to something better, bigger? Which is the more challenging part of the market?
Definitely the ones coming into the market, the new first-time home buyers. Mm-hmm. One is the inventory challenge that we have, and the other is the affordability. What is it priced at? When we look at where, in the last four years, where the price point was for a starter home in Charlotte compared to where it is now, again, it's that 30% increase.
Where is it now?
When you say where is it?
What's the average starter home price today in Charlotte?
They're about $200,000.
Wow. So the people in those starter homes who paid 30% less mm-hmm. are about to make some money when they leave, right?
Absolutely.
So everything appreciated by everything's appreciated by 30 to 35%.
Absolutely.
So that doesn't mean that they're going to be able to buy more home as they move up. It just means that home has gotten more expensive.
Exactly.
So we have, I guess, a seller's market here because inventories are low. But one of the reasons inventories are low, as I understand it, is that people in their homes are afraid to put those homes on the market because, A, they may not find something that they like. More importantly, B, they may not be able to afford anything appreciably better than what they have. Would that be accurate?
The latter is more accurate. I don't necessarily think it's a fear factor, but it's what can I get that's going to be worth me packing up, mm-hmm. moving, that's going to be better than where I am? And can I get that where I'm not sinking into my retirement to be able to afford that next home?
Hasn't it always been that way? Haven't home values always gone up? And isn't that a calculation you always have to make?
You do, but in the Charlotte market, I don't think we've seen it go up as quickly as it has in the last 4 to 5 years.
So we have, Jennifer, one of the hottest markets, evidently, in the country. And this is not a bubble, is it?
No. So typically in real estate cycles, you'll see either in the downturn your land, your labor, your lending. One of the three will start to depreciate or start to come down. But because our supply is so low during the next downturn, whenever it may be, we don't see that depreciation forecasting out the way that it has in previous cycles.
So how should we feel about this? I mean, should we feel good about this because this is an attractive place to be and that if you're a homeowner and you can sell and you want to move, you can make money on the sale most likely if you've kept the house up? How should we feel about this?
I mean, I feel fortunate to be a homeowner, but I really feel for the first-time buyer at this point.
Really?
I think it boils down to we have to, you know, reach out to municipalities in the suburbs, get them to embrace density, make their aesthetic requirements a little bit more affordable and palatable, and not every home can have brick and hardy. There are going to be vinyl-sided houses out in the suburbs and kind of get that NIMBYism in check. To make homes affordable for first-time homeowners.
We're going to talk about density. We're going to talk about some of these challenges because I know that everybody wants that all sides of their house to be brick, and that's not going to happen in most cases. And some, as you say, some municipalities don't want. They want certain aesthetics, shall
right.
we say, and that's driving up the prices of homes, which is tightening up the market, which means people aren't moving and they're not buying and they're not selling. When we come back, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about what it means when we say that 60 people a day, if that's that figure keeps changing, but if when we say 60 people a day are moving here, what does that mean to the houses versus people equation? We'll come back and talk about that in a moment. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Charlotte Talks is sponsored by Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to drivers that believe a car is used for more than just getting from place to place. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about the state of the real estate market and what's selling and what's buying and where the challenges are for buyers and sellers and realtors and builders. And we have a realtor here. Brenda Hayden is president of the Charlotte Regional Realtor Association and works for REMAX. Excuse me. That is wrong. That works for Keller Williams South Park. Jennifer Gooch is with us from Metro Study. They study the market and supply that information to the people who need it. She's the in charge of the Charlotte region. And Bob Zweier is president of Saucy Burbank and of the Home Builders Association of Greater Charlotte. So when we say that 60 people, Jennifer, move here every single day on average, that's hard for people to wrap their heads around. What does that mean? Your company, Metro Study, supplies some statistics for UNC Charlotte's State of Housing in Charlotte report. And that report talks about that growth this way. It says, the region's population has grown at a rate of about 2.03% since 2003, while the number of housing units has grown at a rate of 1.34%. That means things are really getting tight. Over 2007 to 2019, that's 12 years. Mm-hmm. What was it like 12 years ago? Do you know?
I think 12 years ago, we had an oversupply of houses on the ground from the recession. So we were able to absorb that population increase easier. Why you've seen the apartment boom be so strong over the past 4 or 5 years it's because of that population increase. What hasn't increased at the same level at the same time has been our new home supply.
So all the things we talked about in the first segment, the tightening supply of houses, the difficulty that home builders face in trying to get things out of the dirt, the more people moving here every day, has taken prices up and made inventory scarce. And yet you have good news. I read yesterday about this. You say that the average list price for a single-family detached home is expected to dip slightly. Why?
Right. Because more affordable product will come on the market. So
So don't buy now?
No. No, I would buy now, definitely. So we'll see more affordable product because builders, large public builders, as Bob mentioned, D.R. Horton, Express Line, Wade Journey, LGI, they're going to be in the suburbs creating a more affordable product for us, which will make the average price dip. Notably, townhome prices now are more expensive than detached homes.
Why?
Because of the infill townhome that's happening. So, you know, your infill townhome is an affordable way to live in the city center. The average townhome price here for infill townhomes is anywhere from $350 to $500.
So if you've got comparable square footage in a detached house with comparable features, what would the house cost versus the townhome?
For infill? You're looking 600 plus probably.
You're actually getting a deal even though it's more expensive than the average.
Right. Okay. It's the affordable way to live in town.
Okay.
What we thought it would be was an affordable entry level home on the suburbs, but that hasn't really taken shape because of municipalities not wanting the density right now.
So prior to joining Metro Study, you worked for a number of home builders. I think you also helped Shea. With their adult brand, Trilogy, bringing that to market to the region. What role are baby boomers playing in all this, older adults, as they downsize and they unload what may be fairly large homes that they don't need anymore? What effect is that having?
Well, we haven't seen them unload the way that we thought they would. So in Charlotte, the 55 and up community, their mobility rate is about 7%. So really you get the bulk of your mobility among the different age brackets in your millennials and also your Xers right now. We're finding that boomers, while they do go to active adult communities, they do buy infill townhomes. On the most part, they're sitting tight.
Really?
In their house. And so getting them to move would be beneficial because it would free up some of our supply.
But when older adults are moving and they're downsizing, what are they looking for? Are they looking for just something smaller with less yard but with even plusher amenities than they had before? Well, you talk to these people every day.
Absolutely.
Brenda. What are they looking for?
I think they want the same amenities interior.
Mm-hmm.
less responsibility on the exterior, so that's where you have some moving into townhome communities. They want more convenience, so you may see an influx of them moving closer to the city because you have the entertainment here, and they don't have the responsibility of the exterior and all of that.
So. I'd also say, Mike, they'd like to age in place to the extent that they can, and so they're looking for the master to be – they want one level living, and that's an important – they may want a second level for guests or for family or kids coming home to, you know, to visit, right. but that one level living becomes very important.
So master down and everything
– absolutely.
On the first floor. Mm-hmm. Is that difficult to find? Can you find those homes for those people easily? Or are home builders supplying that?
Home builders are transitioning to supply that more now, but it's a little bit of a challenge because that hasn't been your typical, you know, construction when you look at existing homes. So typically that means you might have to go into new construction.
And some of these houses that boomers have built and bought over the years are pretty big. I mean, we used to use the term McMansion all the time. When they put those houses on the market, do younger people want them?
I would say yes.
A dead silence falls on the room.
Well, I would say yes. A lot of those larger houses, if you know, builders don't make houses that large. So the average size, square footage-wise, of a house has been decreasing for new home construction. And so there are still those large families out there that want those houses, that want those really large lots, that it would be attractive to a move-up buyer with a family.
In the go-go 90s and early 2000s, it seemed that houses became not just a piggy bank for other projects, but they became an extension of your personal wealth, outward a manifestation of your personal wealth. And you can see that in the home designs with columns and marble and things like that. In some cases, it was almost ostentatious. Is that what people want today, or are they scaling? I see a lot of craftsman homes going up.
Absolutely.
And craftsman was a movement that was very simple back when it first came on the scene. Is that what people want? They want it simpler, not as ostentatious.
Yeah, I think it's always you need to be careful not to throw everybody in the same, you know, into
sure,
the same basket.
Sure.
But I think craftsman has become an acceptable, exciting style to people. To your point, it's not as ostentatious. One of the challenges with McMansions on the resale side is not just the fact that it's a large home. It just doesn't live the same as a new home may in terms of being an open floor plan. Folks love this open floor plan concept where they've got a kitchen and a great room or living area and a dining room that are all, you know, adjacent to one another, not separated by walls, and they can sort of convert that space and use it in multiple ways. So, I mean, I think that's more of a challenge in terms of the resale of some of these older, larger homes than the fact that it's just, you know, a very large home.
The fact that the floor plan is not contemporary in terms of being open.
Yeah.
You talk to buyers. Mm-hmm. And you talk to buyers, probably you have open floor plans and they're looking to buy something else. Do they want another open floor plan, or have they discovered that if you have an open floor plan, you got to keep at least three rooms clean because everything is open to everybody when they come into the house?
And typically what I see is this strong desire still for that open floor plan.
Okay. What's that all about?
I think because we entertain more at home,
mm-hmm.
and open floor plan makes that easy. You can be in the kitchen. You're not feeling like you're on punishment because you're in a cubby hole in the kitchen. You're
open.
Out with the family.
Well, yes, and everybody comes to the kitchen anyway.
Everybody's in the kitchen.
It's still the nucleus. So builders must love this open floor plan thing because it's less to build, isn't it?
Well,
no walls, no doors. Is it cheaper to build?
Yeah, I don't know that it's necessarily any less expensive because you end up making it up somewhere else. I mean, so folks love the, you know, it's kitchens and master baths are still the, you know, the wow feature. That's what people really migrate to. And so what they've done is go for very upgraded appliances. And now we're Internet of Things. You know, everybody wants to be connected to everything, whether it's their security system, their lights, their, you know, their appliances. So we've just exchanged costs. I mean, I don't know that we've really reduced.
Put it in technology.
Right. And we talked about the master down concept. Well, from a builder's perspective, that's a larger footprint in terms of foundation and what and the amount of ground that it has to cover. So it's less efficient and less cost effective than the same amount of square footage if it were, you know, one floor directly on top of the other.
It's a bigger footprint, yeah. More land.
More land and more material on the ground. I mean, there's more concrete, more masonry. So it's less, you know, less efficient.
But and once again, in spite of all the things that we've talked about that may be viewed as negative, you came into this program saying that you are encouraged by the market. Right,
yeah, now. I think Jennifer would, I hope she would agree with this, but we went into the fourth quarter of last year, and I mean we as an industry, not specific to Saucy Burbank, but and it got very soft, and it got kind of scary. There was a lot of heavy discounting going on, especially by the nationals. They had built a significant amount of inventories in some markets, and even to some extent in pockets in this market. And so there was discounting going on. Rates were going up. Sales were slowing. I think a lot of us were very concerned about what was January going to be like. And fortunately for a number of reasons, January turned out to be very positive, and that momentum keeps building. And the spring is always the best time. It's the selling season for new and resale. And we haven't been disappointed. As I said earlier, the interest rates are always a big piece of that, and that's worked in our favor as well.
Where are you seeing inventory right now? Available inventory. If I was going to go out with you when the show is over at 10 o'clock to look at houses.
Mike, come out with me. We've got some. We've got some great townhouses. I know you'd love them.
Where are you seeing the inventory, Brenda? Well, I'm going to ignore Bob. Yeah.
In the Charlotte market as a whole, inventory is still historically low, right? We're about 2.2 months of supply. Mm-hmm. Part of your question is going to be dictated by price.
What right? price points are golden? Tell me that.
Golden price points right now, let's say this fall in the middle, like 350 to 4.
Mm-hmm. What does that get you?
350 to 4 will get you somewhere comfortable, about 3,000 square foot, your typical three, maybe four bedrooms, 2.5 bath, 2-car garage.
Exterior, what's it look like?
Some brick, not four-sided brick, for sure.
Okay.
You may get some brick or stone.
And which is selling more quickly? Is it brand new houses or resale?
I would have to defer to Jennifer for that question. As far as
what are your customers wanting? Would they rather see new construction, or would they rather see something that's in a more established neighborhood?
Definitely, an established neighborhood would have appeal, but you're going to pay more for an established neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Because it's closer in, or because it's established? Because
both.
There's some established neighborhoods outside of the inner city.
That's correct. The closer you get into Charlotte, the more expensive you're gonna pay.
Okay.
We definitely see some increased foot traffic on the Matthews, more suburban, further out. So it's demonstrating that customers are willing to go further out to get the bang for their buck.
And when people are listing their houses, how long are you telling them that it might be on the market on average?
Again, that's a price and location question. On average, you're probably looking about 54 days on market for the Charlotte market on average.
So, and are people pretty much sticking to their sales price? The sellers, are they sticking to their sales price, or are they willing to bargain? Are they willing to help with closing costs? Are they willing to take contingencies, et cetera?
We're still in the seller's market, so if they've got a good realtor that priced it correctly, mm-hmm. they're going to get what they've asked for on about 95% of the asking price.
So it's a seller's market. Does that mean that I can throw my house on the market and not clean the carpets and repaint and
No, you still have
to do that?
Yes, you still have to market your home and market effectively by making it, appealing to the next buyer.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Townhomes. You said just a second ago, Jennifer, that the average price of single-family detached may dip a little bit because of townhomes coming online. And you also mentioned that townhomes have become a very popular alternative closer in, but that it's difficult, it's challenging farther out. And you said municipalities get in the way. They don't want the density that townhomes bring. Does that have to change, or can they stick to their guns?
In my opinion, it's something that's going to have to change. The UNC State of Housing report shows just how undersupplied we are. And so if we don't do something to the effect of adding more affordable product, whether it be it's going to have to be further out, then it's just going to push prices up even further. So it's one of our few alternatives at this point. We don't have Charlotte Housing Authority or affordable housing bond referendums helping the for sale market like they do the multifamily market in this arena. So it's up to municipalities and builders to figure out the problem.
Do you build townhomes?
We do. In fact, we're doing an infill townhome. We've got several. We've got one in South Park, but up in Noda, we've got something at Highland Park, and it's driven by it's a transit oriented development. We're minutes from the light rail, and so I think the light rail has very intentionally pushed density and made it very attractive, to provide a housing alternative that is a townhouse product, and it works well. I mean, it really does.
You represent not only the Home Builders Association, but you are with Saucy Burbank, which is kind of a boutique builder. They build about 225
new. Yeah, that's correct, Mark. We're in three markets: we're Charleston, Raleigh, and the Charlotte market, and we do 225-250 homes a year.
So when you start construction on a new house, because you're not building thousands at a time, you got to get it right.
Yeah, we do. We do. Yeah, we'd like to borrow from the production guys and be able to replicate things. It's hard.
How do you keep up with trends? How does any home builder keep up with trends? How do you know that the open floor plan and the when you were looking at new construction, one of the sales points was it's wired. It's wired for the internet. Well, you don't need those wires anymore. So how do you know what's coming online and how long something that's a fad now will be in vogue?
Well, it's challenging. I mean, it's a matter of looking at your competition first and foremost, and understanding what they're offering and what the market is sort of migrating to. It's working with great consultants, whether it's architects or folks that are in the structured wiring business, as you're talking about the wired versus the Wi-Fi. You just have to use all the resources that are available to you. I mean, let's face it, HGTV is a great place to start because people migrate. You know, they love what Joanna Gaines was doing. I mean, shiplap became everybody had to have it somewhere.
And
it's an old style that's been revisited, and people love it.
Okay, we have to take a break. That's Bob Swire, president of Saucy Burbank and of the Home Builders Association of Greater Charlotte, here with Jennifer Gooch from Metro Study and Brenda Hayden, president of the Charlotte Regional Realtors Association. We're coming right back with Charlotte Talks on WFAE. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking real estate, the tight market, what you can expect if you're buying or selling, how long this will last. Brenda Hayden is here. She is the president of the Charlotte Regional Realtors Association and works with Keller Williams South Park. Jennifer Gooch is with she's the regional director of the Charlotte region for Metro Study, which supplies facts and figures to home builders and realtors. Bob Zweier is the president of the Home Builders Association of Greater Charlotte and of Saucy Burbank. Let me share with you some emails that have come in while we've been talking. If they'll take that off the screen, thank you. Jenny emails, national players are coming into the market, buying up properties and then renting them out. Zillow is coming into the market, buying up properties for cash and then flipping them for higher prices, squeezing out regular buyers. What might the impact of these companies in the market be on the average home buyer? Brenda.
Good question. One, I will say these new entries into the market, there's just different business models, is definitely having an impact on home buyers that are trying to get in because it's hard to compete.
You call them disruptors.
I didn't call them disruptors.
You don't?
But that's a reality. They are perceived as disruptors, but it's just a different business model.
Well, let's talk about them for a second. I wasn't planning to talk about them quite yet. Well, let's talk about them. Zillow, I always thought, was just a place where you can go and see what things cost. And evidently, the Charlotte realtors have shut Zillow out, if I'm not mistaken. I've talked to some realtor friends of mine, and If you look on Zillow, those prices are wildly off, according to them, and that's because they're not getting accurate information because the realtors aren't letting them have it. But now Zillow's in the market of helping you buy and sell, as is this company called OfferPad and Knock. Mm-hmm. What are the business models for OfferPad and Knock, and why are they different? How are they different?
I don't want to go too much in detail because I don't work for either entity.
Well, I can tell you a little bit.
I'll let you share.
Knock will buy your house and move you in to your new house before you list your old home, which sounds sketchy to me, but maybe it works. OfferPad will buy your home directly, so you don't have to be involved in the selling process. Is that essentially, did I get it right?
Sounds right.
So does that scare you? You're a realtor. Does that scare you? They're coming after you.
For me, I've been in the business 18 years. Okay. It does not scare me.
So can I add something?
Sure.
So the different we call them iBuyers or disrupt. They are disrupting. So they have different fees set up. So OfferPad, Knock, the different ones will have different percentages, just like a realtor would, so 6%. Or it could go up to 7 or 8%, depending on which one you go with. But they also are not going to give you market value for your home.
Some of these new people are charging 8%?
I've seen, I think some charge.
And they're not going to give you market value?
Why? What we've seen is it's 3 to 4% off market value.
So why would you use them?
For ease.
For ease, just because you want out. You want to move.
Well, you want to be able to move into, you don't want to have to line up your closings. So that's what's becoming really difficult in this market, is being able to sell your home, line up another home, because you'll get into bidding wars or it'll get taken out from under you for some reason. And so just having that flexibility of having somebody come in and say, okay, because they'll be they'll move your closing date to whatever you need it to be. So it offers that flexibility that and takes that what if out of moving from one home to another.
That's always been a problem, hasn't it? The people don't have a lot of cash and they have to sell their house to get into the new house. They have to take the money out of the old to put it in the new. So it's a contingency sale. Why does that seem to be more difficult today than it did 20 years ago?
Because you put your house on the market, it's going to sell, depending on price and location, it could sell really fast. Mm-hmm. And then for something in your price range, if you're in one of those lower price ranges in the 250 to 350 part of the market, you're looking at a scenario based on, if you're in the right price, you could get into bidding wars and not be able to find a home to move
into. So are traditional realtors companies taking that into consideration now? Are you finding that you're going to have to adjust your business model to compete with these new people that will take that load off of your plate?
Absolutely. In any market, any industry, whenever you have a new disruptor come into your industry, it makes you reassess.
Right.
How do you stay competitive? How do you stay in the industry? So
because some new home builders are getting into that as well, helping people sell the house that they're in so they can buy this new house. Right, Bob?
Yeah, I've seen that. And that's not really new to the market. I mean, that's been a tool that some builders have used for many, many years. But back to your point, Brenda or Jennifer, maybe you can elaborate on it, but I also understand that some of these new business models, they're buying those houses to put them in a rental pool, a single family rental pool. And it's, that's the business model. It's an easy way for them to acquire rental units. And of course, those large portfolio of single family rental homes, it's different from the apartment complex. You don't need 300 units, all in one locale. They can, as long as it's all in one market, they'll manage that for you. So, from my perspective, that also just makes that first-time buyer, he's got more competition. It's not just another home buyer. It's now really a rental. Is that
you're accurate, Bob.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what we're seeing in the market. So, which makes the first-time home buyer, when I say you need to come prepared and be prepared, because when these companies come, they're making cash offers, oftentimes sight unseen.
But then they're changing the character of neighborhoods, because they're changing neighborhoods from owner-occupied to renter-occupied, and that also goes to reducing the inventory of available sale homes.
Yes.
That's tightening the market even more.
Yes.
Well, they're also butting up against a wall. So we saw them really come into effect 2012 on, when they would buy from the MLS cheap, put $10,000 worth of repairs in, and then rent it out. They're kind of saturated in a lot of communities where HOA restrictions won't let that many rentals happen. And so they're also starting to build communities for themselves. So they'll take land, build a subdivision with 30 homes, and have it all be rental homes. They have one master irrigation system where they take care of the yard for everyone. So you wouldn't even drive into the community and know that it's, you know, a rental community without.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing? I mean, have these things been around long enough to know what kind of a track record they have as neighborhoods when this happens? Do they keep them up? Does it attract a certain kind of person? Would you want to live there 20 years from now?
I think that's the kind of the hesitation that a lot of people have with them. My hesitation with it is the competition for the first-time home buyer. And so it's shutting people out of, you know, building that wealth to move up.
But, Mike, to your point, there are in other markets, it hasn't been I haven't seen it happen here yet in Charlotte. But there's a conscious effort to build a neighborhood of single-family rentals, and with the theory being that they will take care of that entire neighborhood and it will look good and maintain value.
Now, it's here.
Is it?
Yeah, okay.
Another email. Jim emails, I live in Ballantyne, and here, like everywhere else, it seems new housing is under development on every bare square inch of ground. Meanwhile, a few major arteries are already clogged and congested, even on weekends. Where is the traditional traffic these developments bring supposed to go, and why isn't we're doing a program on this later in this month? Why isn't the quality of life in Charlotte given greater emphasis? Do developers take traffic considerations into consideration? If that's true, why not take some of that land that you bought and set it off the street so they can widen the roads?
Well, and that's usually a requirement. I mean, honestly, that's as part of that entire entitlement process that we talked about. But my response to that would be that it's sort of an argument for density. And quality of life, there's a lot of measurements, and some of them are economic in terms of property taxes. Why not take advantage of by taking advantage of density, of infrastructure in place? You don't have to put in new roads, new water and sewer.
But, Bob, if you take – there was a house diagonally across the street from me. They're now putting, 10 townhomes on that lot. That's probably 15 cars, maybe 20, where one was there before. And this is not just an isolated incident. This is happening everywhere. And when you talk about density, that's what you're talking about. These townhomes are on two or three lots, and they have the equivalent of 10 or 15 houses. Where are those cars supposed to go?
Well, I mean,
I'm not blaming you.
Thank you. I appreciate that, because I didn't create that specific issue, but I hear you. I mean, I live in South Charlotte, and it took me an extra 15 minutes to get here this morning.
Yes.
From what I thought it would. So you know, I get that. But you know, the flip side is, I think the city and county are committed to solutions that mass transit, the light rail, the streetcar, the buses. I mean, I think that's part of urban living, but and like I think we all have to understand that.
Most of that is downtown. We'll talk about this on that other show.
Okay.
We're going to do, because I'm not going to.
I may not be here that day.
I wouldn't. I'd run if I were you. Guy emails, any place I can move where housing prices are going down.
Right now, it will be your high-end areas. So we've seen some price cuts and price depreciation.
How high-end is high-end?
We're talking 500 and up areas. So Davidson, Cornelius, some Waxhaw pockets.
Why are they going down? These are nice
houses. Because a lot of people listed their homes, and there's a lot of competition. There's supply out there. You know, that's where supply's heavy, is in those upper price ranges. So you're looking at about 4 months of supply in Waxhaw, which makes people put their home on the market, and then, you know, they'll come off their list price.
Teresa on Facebook, what are the prospects for far outlying areas like Monroe? Will they see growth despite poor planning in the past?
we are seeing builders go down to Monroe. Mm-hmm. So especially with the Monroe Expressway, Seacrest Shortcut Road, they're getting a big new mixed-use development with a lot of townhome and single family.
You're going to pay more to live closer in. Do people want to live closer in? Are they? Do they? When they come to see you for the first time and you sit down with them and ask them what they want, mm-hmm. is it, I want to be able to be within 10 minutes drive of work and I work uptown, or do I want the picket fence out in the suburbs and I don't mind driving an hour or 45 minutes to get to work?
I actually see both scenarios. With the influx of people coming into Charlotte, that's 60 a day, a lot of them are coming from other cities where an hour commute
Nothing.
Is normal. I had one client come in from California, hour and a half to and from work every day. So when the idea of them moving to South Charlotte, working in Steel Creek, they were like, high five. You know, they were good with it. You know, 45
it's
minutes.
It's relative, yeah.
It's relative.
Yeah, it really is.
Versus someone that, you know, may be native to this area, not used to the traffic.
And will continue to be attractive, I think, to relos.
Is it easier, less expensive, more expensive for a builder to build infill housing, whether it's a townhome development or single-family homes, maybe one or two or three, on lots that are in established neighborhoods, than it is to put them out in the outlying areas and just have take down a tree?
Well, it's the old answer. It depends. In many cases, it's more efficient and cost effective to do that infill. In some, it's challenging though because you've got neighbors on all four sides of you, and you've right. got to sort of work around them. So it can go both ways.
Angela on Facebook, can you talk about real estate investors who hound our mailboxes, and what about those "we buy houses" signs? What's that all about?
Yeah, I can't
no,
answer
no.
that.
I don't know.
I'd like to know that same thing because I've seen
we
those
should
signs.
Call one.
Yeah.
So let's talk about some of the construction. We only have a couple minutes left. Let's talk about some of the construction challenges. I know that prior to the recession, a lot of the people hammering the nails and cutting the drywall and putting the finishing, building it from ground up, were immigrants. People not here, not necessarily with papers, so to speak. Now that ICE has been cracking down, are you having difficulty finding labor?
Well, yeah, yes, absolutely. Labor is a challenge, and the local community is addressing that with a place called The Rock, Rebuilding Opportunities in Construction. It's a sort of a joint venture between CPCC, Goodwill, and Charlotte-Mecklenburg Schools, and they're trying to put 120 kids a year, high school kids, and show them that there's opportunity out there to make good money and not have to spend 4 years in college and come out, $100,000 plus or minus in debt. So to the extent that those initiatives are out there and we can be successful with it, it's just been launched. I think that will help.
So it's just been launched. Does that mean you're having trouble getting people right now, labor?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I saw a statistic that for every four retiring construction workers, there's one coming in. Okay. And so it's a supply and demand challenge.
The price of lumber is also going up. Why?
Well, there's, again, multiple reasons. Some of it's import tariffs, Canadian lumber. There's folks feel like the Canadian government may be subsidizing the softwood lumber in Canada, and so there's significant tariffs there. And again, it's a supply and demand thing. Mills shut down until there's enough demand to warrant them running. And it's a seasonal thing. I mean, we saw them go through the roof last summer. By December, the prices were down 50%, and now they're starting to go back up again.
What's your best advice, Brenda, for people buying mm-hmm. and for people selling?
Work with a professional and be prepared. If you're buying, make sure you have your finances in order. Make sure you're realistic about what the opportunities are based on your affordability. And it's going to take a minute, so be patient.
And what would you say to people who maybe have listened to part of this hour and maybe had toyed with the idea of selling but are afraid to because they just don't know that they'll get what they want, so I'm not going to do it, I'll just sit tight. What would you say to them?
Do your research. Just really do your research.
How do you do that?
Again, work with a professional, see what's out there according to what you're looking for, see how long homes are on the market for what you're selling, and be able to make that balance.
Brenda Hayden is president of the Charlotte Regional Realtors Association and a realtor with, it'll come to me, Keller Williams, South Park, Jennifer Gooch, regional director of Charlotte and for Metro Study, and Bob Zweer, president of Saucy Burbank and the Home Builders Association of Greater Charlotte. Charlotte Talks is sponsored by Mazda of South Charlotte, dedicated to helping customers select vehicles that fit one's lifestyle. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.